I say Beth is coming because she called me.
Sounds good.
I just told the other folks I'm not going to be here next week.
Okay. Yeah, here's Beth coming in right now.
There she is. Hi, Beth.
Hi.
Hello.
Here we go. Put it back in the speaker view. So we just have the. There you are.
Yep. Hi.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Hi. John, what exactly is spontaneous projection?
The selfless self, your formlessness that you are, spontaneously is projecting everything through, you're viewing it through this body form and seeing this world that is projected on your presence. And again, we don't want to get too bogged down into how things work, because nothing really is. That's why even when they talk about the screen, like, you know, I think Ramana Maharshi says, oh, it's all appearing on the screen. And then Nisargadatta Maharaj says, you see the images on the screen and they're laughing or whatever, but you're unaffected. But the screen is not like a flat screen. The screen is used in, as an example for the formlessness, trying to sort of explain in some way how space and all of these appearances are appearing in space. You could say the screen is three-dimensional or more dimensional even. And then these are objects that are appearing on the screen because you have nothing to do with this world. Like there is no, just as in dream, the one laying down sleeping is not able to penetrate that dream existence, that dream world. There is no way this dreamer laying down sleeping can penetrate that dream world. You can appear within the dream world using a dream body that you know is absolutely false and is coming from the formlessness that you are. You call it the dream consciousness or the dream itself. And it's the same here. That you are is never involved in this.
But the separate self is all concept.
There's no separate self. How?
Well, I mean, if we're identifying with a separate self, it's because we have made up some kind of conceptual identity that seems real.
Yeah, well, the idea that I exist came along with the body. Prior to this body, there was no sense that I exist as something or someone.
Right.
And along with that, the spontaneous projection is I am someone in a world. Yes. And then it's impressed.
Right. With all these concepts and conditioning that we could go on a whole lifetime, like maybe 90% of the people going on whole lifetime thinking that they are a separate identity that has volition and choices and all that, but it's not that. That is not, that is illusion, because the concept is not who we are. The conceptual identity is not who we are, but people have to come to that, John. People, don't you think? I mean, most people have to come to that. They just don't see it. They just don't see that they are formless, a selfless self. They think that they are a separate entity with histories and relationships and all that. And then they they get the longing to wake up to the fact that they're not who they thought they were. So most people, it's a process, don't you think? With you, it was a process.
But why is this even important? Again, within your dream, there'll be different people at different states of whatever, you know, they're not knowing that they're dreaming and they seem to be doing actions. I think we use the example of, you know, the kid who grows up, marries his college sweetheart and has the job and does all this kind of stuff, or the other kid who's going to college and working very hard studying within the dream. He does have the ability to make decisions within the dream, but in reality, there's nothing. So within the bubble of illusion, you can make decisions.
Yes.
Like I can say, okay, I can decide whether I'm going to go someplace tomorrow. That's a decision, but it's not the you that you are. It's your character, basically, the play, the actor within the script is being written spontaneously. But there isn't a sense of doership because you know yourself in a real sense. Just as after you've woken up from a dream, you're not taking doership of running a marathon, even if you've won the trophy and a big fat check. You're not saying, oh, I ran such a wonderful marathon, I got this nice trophy, because you've woken up and you understand it's not true. When you know yourself in a real sense, no matter what this little limited something seems to be doing, you know it's not true. It's not you.
Yeah.
And yet you do your job, you do your duties. You don't give up on life and say, well, I'm totally formless. And Maharaj talks about this too. That's egoistic spirituality, to sit and say, I'm totally formless. I need do nothing because I'm not a doer.
Yeah.
And that actually, a lot of the spiritual gurus kind of impress that on you, do nothing, you know, and then people will say, oh, I'm sitting, I'm doing nothing. Even to breathe is too much for me. And this is just a spiritual egoistic thing of like, now, and like Maharaj says, if you don't do anything, if you don't do your job, do your duties, you won't eat. And that's the truth. And if you don't eat, then the body is not nourished. Then the body cannot sustain the essence. And the body perishes. Therefore, your experience as being this limited something ceases.
Right.
The object is you're this limited something as an appearance. But in reality, the spontaneous projection is coming from you. You're the projector, not any of the projections. And we can go up right back to the dreamer. You're laying down and sleeping. Dream world is created spontaneously. People are in the dream spontaneously. Dogs in the dream spontaneously. Cats in the dream. All these, this whole world is created within this dream spontaneously. And a you, because you're identified with a body form within your dream, doing things. And no matter what you do, and you may make decisions, maybe big decisions even. You say, oh, what to do? I don't know. I'm so confused. I have to make this decision. But once you wake up, then it's like, well, this decision that I really struggled with trying to make really made no difference whatsoever. And that is the waking up is not like waking up. It is understanding and knowing yourself in a real sense. The direct experience of your own selfless self erases the concept of illusory existence.
Yeah.
And that's why they say the world disappears. It's not the world disappears from an egoistic point of view where, oh, I'm looking out and now it's just darkness. I don't see a world. No, this is not correct. I don't see a world because the world is through mind, identified with a body in a world, doing actions and activities as I'm doing these things, living this life. But when you know yourself in a real sense, the actor, the character you're playing, you play it quite well, you do your role very nicely, but you know, it's not me. I am not this that I appear to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's why Maharaj always says too about like, what about the others, or what about this teacher or that teacher? Only concentrate on your own self. Because when you know yourself in a real sense, others disappear. The concept of others become the same as, oh yeah, when I dream tonight, there'd be a lot of people in my dream. They may be doing a lot of things, maybe even things against me, but they're all my own self. When I wake up, I'll understand this. And when I know myself in a real sense, every person, quote, that I'm interacting with on a daily basis in the traffic, at work, in the grocery store, it's all my own selfless self because I'm absolutely formless. If I create a form by a mind of I am somebody, I am something, then I can be disturbed because somebody can butt in front of me. But if I remain formless and thought free, because I'm not thinking about myself, then someone can come and go in line. There's no concept of time or an object in time that's, quote, waiting in line.
That's when you're like naturally patient.
I'm sorry, Keith, I couldn't hear you. What?
I guess that's the way sometimes I get naturally patient, and I guess that's what's going on. There's no reason to not be patient.
Yeah, when you're not creating a waiter waiting, there's no wait. Mm-hmm. When you're not creating a thinker thinking, there's no thought. You have to create these things. You have to create, I am somebody else. These are my ideas. These are my like Maharaj says, my country. Does the sky have India sky, Chinese sky, Russia sky, Ukraine sky? No, it's sky is sky.
That's why if you really look at it, it can seem absurd to be so wrapped up in, like, say, your team winning something.
Mm-hmm. When you know yourself in a real sense, there are no others and there is no world. So how in the world can you be disturbed? There's no world. There's no others. All these illusory problems are untrue. All these people that seemingly are blocking your desires to get something, you know, your fear of loss or whatever, the fear and the pleasure and pain principle is not there. Nothing's there.
They're all just projections, just like your own body is, I guess.
Just as in a dream. Truly, if you took your dream more seriously than you took your waking life, you'd be in much more peace. Mm-hmm. You're like, okay, this dream, it's very important. You know, even if you don't know you're dreaming, okay, I'm giving 100%. And you wake up, oh my God, wow, that seems so real. I really believed that I was doing those things. I really believed this. I think we jokingly said about you're a rock star in your dream, and you wake up and look out the window. Oh, where's my limousine and all my all my stuff? It's finished. But inside the dream, it appeared real.
Yeah.
Because you were so identified with the dream character that I'm a rock star. I'm experiencing these experiences. And when you know yourself in a real sense, it's the exact same thing. Oh, look. This is going on. Oh, I'm driving to go see the beach. Oh, I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go do that. But it's all within the bubble of illusion.
You sort of recognize it's all within you.
Exactly. Yeah. Because you're formless. And that's why, again, the screen is not a flat screen. It's like a holographic projection sort of screen.
But we do have to deal with these bodies when they get sick or when they
have take surgeries care of yourself
or whatever. We have to deal with them. It's not illusion. We got these bodies.
You don't have to experience the body going through all these different things. You can remain with yourself as self and go through surgeries and all these sort of things quite nicely. This I can speak of from personal, quote, experience from the pacemaker.
Yes, yes.
All the way in on the train, at the office, going and getting prepped, getting the pacemaker, being put on the little gurney thingy and being wheeled in and then, you know, starting to shave and all this. Remain with yourself, the self. And you're not experiencing having a pacemaker. So you can say, oh, I'm getting old and I'm having these issues and this and that. But okay, body is going through these things. Just like a neighbor's child, Nisargadatta Maharaj talks about, just like the neighbor's child. But I remain with myself, the self. I'm not experiencing these body-based things. I'm just not. Pain, of course, sensory input. This is pain. I break my arm. No matter how spiritual you are, if you break your arm, it's going to hurt.
Yes.
But you don't have to sit there and be like, oh, you know, I got this cast and it's doing this or doing that. You do whatever the doctor says to do. Put your arm up, take your pain medicines, whatever, and that's it. Yeah. Having gone through food poisoning in a foreign country in a foreign hospital and a pacemaker without having to experience either of those events, you remain with yourself, the self. There's no need for you to put a you on to go and have surgery or to go and have these doctor visits or anything like this. What good does it do? Say, oh, I remain with myself, the self, all the time, except when I go to the doctor and he has to do doctor stuff. Or the doctor tells me, listen, you only have 6 months to live. Now I might say, oh, that's very sad or whatever, but I know myself in a real sense. I'm formless. I wasn't born. I won't die. It's not possible. Even the concept of eternity doesn't make sense because eternity requires some kind of body-based knowledge of time. And you're outside of time. You're prior to time. In 6 months, you'll be how you were prior to being this. And when you know yourself in a real sense, you know, oh, prior to being this, I am this. You won't know you're this, but you're this. Because now you know. You have a body that you can know. You have a media to introduce you to your own selfless self. That's why don't waste time. Maharaj always says, he's like,
yeah,
you know, the body is a golden opportunity. Don't waste time. Like, get to know yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And not like the spiritual journey of I'm going to travel to India. I've got these five gurus that I'm going to see. I'm going to stay in these ashrams. I'm going to do meditation for this length of time. I'm going to go light these candles. I want to walk around Arunachala. You know, this is my month itinerary. No, right here, right now, in your house, wherever you are in the world, remain with yourself, the self. Be in your own ashram, as Maharaj says.
I kind of get knowing, I have some sense of what it is to know myself in a real sense, at least sometimes. But there's and sort of, that's where a lot of times it seems contradictory to the mind. Because, okay, if it's valuable to know yourself through by means of a body that makes you able to know yourself, then that's placing a value on knowledge. And that seems to be like identifying that there is value in knowledge. And then, but other times.
But mind knowledge is not knowledge. Knowledge is to know yourself in a real sense. It's not knowledge in the sense that I can get something. I get knowledge. I read a book, I get knowledge. This is body-based knowledge.
Okay, so you're talking about immediate knowledge rather than...
direct experience of your own selfless self.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's all.
Then you won't use mind. You won't rely on mind because your selfless self is prior to mind. So you won't use mind.
So are you still relying on the body or the mind for that present knowledge?
You know yourself directly. Yeah. Body is no more.
Cool.
The body pressure is no more. You know yourself in a real sense. It's a direct experience. It comes first as a sense of presence because the body form is kind of a ladle that will dip into the nectar of immortality or the selfless self-intoxication, the I am, the just I, you remain with this very subtle sense. You try to remain with this more and more and more. And yes, this seemingly is a duality, but the truth is the presence is remaining with presence, which is dissolving everything that is not. And then what is left, what remains, is yourself. You can say that this subtle sense of presence is just like they use the example of the deer musk. Like the musk is rising from the deer. Deer is jumping around trying to find the fragrance. The presence is your fragrance that introduces you to your own selfless self.
No sense of making yourself out of yourself.
Well, you're what's left. After all experience ends, there you are. Even the experience of presence, the experience of this just I, this very, very just subtle bliss that's just like, oh my God, what in the world can be more nice than this? This is like, oh. And that's what they call the Satchitananda. But even the Satchitananda, and as Maharaj says, okay, now you're in samadhi. You're just in this very nice, blissful presence, peace. But even this has to go because there's still someone experiencing this. That one that's experiencing this very subtle presence, which now you've transcended mind, body, world, thoughts. Now you transcend presence. And that's it. Where is birth and death? Where is world? Where is... And that's why Maharaj points. The entire world is a projection on your spontaneous presence.
And then you sort of like feel like space. And like you feel like...
There won't be a mind there for you to use a conceptual word-based language and say space. And if there is, you just remain more with the sense of presence. It's a black hole that sucks in all of illusion.
Thank you.
We have somebody new. I just noticed in the, it says user.
Oh yeah, hi.
Hello.
Mm-hmm. I'm an owner.
Hello.
It's hello. Saiguru.
Hello. Saiguru. Hello. Hi. John, I was remembering that you had read that one book 17 times as you were practicing the presence and integrating. And I did kind of the same thing. I was led to a book called Practicing the Presence. And I read it for years and years before I realized that the fellow had written 30 books and had 600 tapes. But it was, for me, that whole experience of practicing the presence was just more and more foundational for me. It was much later that I realized there was no me. But I remember that was so helpful for me to just practicing the presence.
Yeah, the reading of the book was, like Maharaj says, reading the reader, and it really started to sink in. As I said, that subtle sense of presence, I could feel that. And when I went to India, Maharaj simply said, you are not body, you were not body, you're not going to remain the body. So if you're not body and you're feeling a sense of presence, then this, oh. And I remember I said to Maharaj, I said, so this is my selfless self. He's like, So it was like, and then the recognition and the projection when I bowed to the masters and I looked in the eyes of the masters and I felt that recognition and the projection. And even I thought that might be like blasphemous, so to speak, because I still had not understanding completely. And I told Maharaj, I said, I'm sitting here, I'm bowing to the masters and I feel this recognition and the projection, like it's, I can't explain it, but it's like a pull of presence into this image. Yeah. And okay, these are happening. But again, these are all baby steps along the way to get to know yourself. Even in the ashram singing, I remember the bhajans, the feeling of expanding into the ashram through the bhajan. And then again, it was understood that from the mind perspective, releasing this stranglehold of body-based existence, it appears from the mind's perspective as an expansion. Mm-hmm. In reality, you're just dissolving the falls.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Mm-hmm. So I have the experience of like being pulled in like a vacuum into a deep, silent nothingness.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So the mind wants to identify what's going to be left.
Well, that's the concept the mind will experience, the concept of dying. And that's why a lot of people are going to back away like, oh, I've gone too far. I don't like this nothingness. It's terrible. But you have to understand, you're witnessing this nothingness. So you are on the other side of nothingness. Nothingness has appeared to you. So you're more subtle than this nothingness. So remain, continue. Master says you are Brahman, you are Brahman. You are not body, you were not body, you're not going to remain the body. Accept your selfless self. There is no God, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no Master. Nothing is there.
God is there.
You don't need to give it to mind to figure it out because you're prior to mind. You're prior to words. Even the I am is not the words I am. It's that subtle feeling, just I.
Yeah.
And you don't need to practice the I am because the practicer is supposed to disappear within the I am.
Yeah.
The I am, the presence that you are, doesn't need to separate and say, I am presence. Everything that's illusion is dissolved. Only presence remains. And you are knowing this presence because this is the last. That's why Nisargadatta Maharaj says the door to the I am, it opens to your own self. It's like that, like the division, the beginning of the real and the end of the false. But the sense I am or I exist appeared to you who had no knowledge of existence and yet existed. Because without existing, this knowledge of existence would appear to whom? Mm-hmm. That's why it's just a little misidentification. You think you're this body? You're not. You think you can die? You can't. You think you were born? You weren't. It's getting really dark in my room. I just noticed, like, I'm getting darker and darker and darker. Unbelievable. There we go.
I noticed that.
It's like I'm disappearing in this darkness.
It's kind of eerie. Yeah.
Well, this neuroscientist, neurosurgeon, Eben Alexander, when he had his near-death experience, he went into an experience of that deep, deep silence that I've experienced many times. He went into it with a flat brainwave that he experienced that. But John, would you say that that was still a level of identification?
Well, again, it's still within the bubble of illusion.
Mm-hmm.
Every experience you're ever going to have is within the bubble of illusion.
Because when this body dissolves, we're not going to have that experience of that deep silence that is no identification, but just a deep silence. We're not going to experience anything. Is that right?
Well, even now, there's no experience, no experiencer. You can remain with your selfless self. And again, it's just as the same as the little person laying down to sleep and the dream world. There's no experience, no experiencer. If there's no dream, there's nothing going on. But the dreamer still very much is. All this world still continues. Everything still goes on. You're just not knowing yourself as limited in this particular body form anymore. But the whole dream is still going on. See, you're not the individual dreamer. It's not like when John, the body of John goes away, that the world ceases. We know this because we've seen people die. The body expires. We're still here. It's not like, well, that was John's world and John had his individual world and now his individual world is gone. No, there is no individuality. That's why there's not a... You're not going to know yourself as Beth.
Okay, there will be no Beth.
You very much are.
Conceptually, could you say it works like that which is limited can't really know what is unlimited, but what is unlimited can know what is limited?
The faculty of knowingness comes along with the illusion. The concept I exist creates this world, basically, this five elemental existence. Understand, this is nothing but a lump of five elements animated by the presence that you are.
Isn't it the unlimited that actually is the knower, though? It's not really...
Again,
that's saying too much still?
That's going into body-based knowledge and trying to turn it over to mind. Limited, unlimited. That's why even Maharaj talks about when people say, what about the absolute? Which part is the absolute? Is the absolute the food? And he says, throw this away. There's no absolute. Absolute is the pointer to what's beyond, but there's no beyond because there's nothing. So always, even if you read the books, both Ramakant Maharaj, Siddharameshwar Maharaj, Nisargadatta Maharaj, it's always contradicting because you don't want to grasp a concept and then say, I understand.